are Katie and Caitlin coming to you from our library living room. We are here not just as children's librarians, but as people who are parenting our own children.
Each month, we'll bring a new conversation about parenting with helpful resources from our library and beyond. This is your family, your library, and we're your librarians.
Before we jump into this month's topic, we want to remind our listeners that though we're pretty good at finding resources, and we have experiences parenting our own children, we are not child development experts. Our choices don't need to be your choices. There is no judgment here. We're all doing our best with the health and well-being of our families in mind.
That's right. And today is an exciting day because this is our one-year anniversary episode.
Amazing.
Isn't that wild?
It is wild.
Did you think we would make it this far?
I did. But it's interesting to, like, look back on the year and, like, how much we've done, like, how much content we have, like, how much we've grown.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cool.
How we've grown stylistically, too. I feel like we've sort of, it's been such a nice transition from feeling nervous about coming to these sessions and not knowing how it was going to turn out to just sort of looking forward to them and knowing that whatever it is, whichever way that the conversation is directed, knowing that it's going to turn out okay in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Is there anything that surprised you?
I think for me, just like how much more comfortable that I've been able to get with this whole setup, you know, I mean, it's like not intuitive for me and it's not a comfort zone for me. So like to be able to be sitting here now and like be able to come here and just do it is like, it feels like a really big accomplishment for me.
I think for me, it's been the, I think I thought at some point we were going to run out of things to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we've been doing it for a while and talking with Paul and Amber every month, it's like, oh, no, I think we could probably do this forever.
Yeah.
And we would never run out of things that are relevant and, you know, topical and interesting to the people that are in our community and to ourselves.
What's been really nice to hear from my family that listens, or friends, colleagues, is that, like, how people can, like, sense the relationship that we have.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, how that comes through, and we have an ease with each other. And I think, obviously, that has played into making this feel the way it's felt for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And also behind the scenes, too. We have great support, and so that's just, like, it's always felt really good when people can hear the way that I feel about my friendship with you.
Oh, vice versa.
And my working relationship with you.
Absolutely. I think piggybacking on that, too, I've heard from my own family. My dad, in particular, called me and told me that he wished that this podcast had been around when we were babies and toddlers and kids.
That's really sweet.
Oh my gosh, that's a really nice thing to say.
That was really sweet.
Just talking about how relatable it was and how friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in double plus exciting news, we talk about our behind the scenes support a lot. And today we thought it would be really fun to bring that behind the scenes support in front of the scenes. We have Amber and Paul with us today.
Oh my God.
Hello.
Hello.
So tell us a little bit about yourselves, Amber and Paul.
Yeah.
I guess
I'll go first. My name was first, but name is Amber. I do communications at the library, so a lot of behind the scenes stuff regardless, you know, the emails, our social media, our website kind of stuff. So you don't really see my face too often. So this is a fun new experience.
That's right.
I always get really excited, Amber, when you, because you do a lot of the, like, the Instagram reels and the short video content that shows up on our social media. And every once in a while, because I watch all of them. Oh, yeah. Amber pops into those reels, and I think it's really exciting. Yeah. Like, oh, there she is. It's like the wizard behind the curtain, you know?
I try to limit myself to, like, once, like, every 2 months. Okay, the people have seen enough. Back to the true stars.
Oh, I disagree. I love seeing it.
You've got a great energy that you bring to everything, so.
You guys are the best.
Sometimes you just have to grab Amber and say, hey, we've got the summer reading video coming up. A star.
Today.
That's right.
That's right.
Ta-da.
Yeah, offering very little time sometimes helps.
Yeah.
But I am Paul, and I also work in the communications department along with Amber and engineer the podcast and do videography here. It's a thrilling job, and I really do enjoy this part of it a lot, too.
So you both are parents.
Yes.
People may or may not know that. So can you tell us a little about your journeys as parents or any little nuggets of wisdom that you can share with people or just your feelings about parenting?
I have the least amount of parenting experience at this table, so I do not feel comfortable giving any kind of
I feel like once you're in it, you're in it.
You're in it, just like, full grown. Yeah. I've got one kiddo. She is 4. But she's counting down the days till she's 5 every day. Because 5 is when you're a grown-up, according to Aria.
Oh.
Yeah. She's going to drive when she's 6 as well, like 16. She's like, no, 6. I'm like, okay.
6, huh?
Yeah. That's when she's a grown-up. You can ask her today when you see her, but.
She's so beautiful.
She's
love her.
Oh, and she's in her, like, drama era right now. She likes to watch Phantom of the Opera. Yeah. So that's her vibe. And so she's watching the 2004 movie of Phantom of the Opera. And I was like, okay, the movie's over. Time for a nap. And she like starts crying. She's like, I miss you, Phantom. How did we get here? But yeah, it's been a blast. She's 4, like I said. She's a handful. I think she's going to end up being the only one, which is fine for me. But she keeps us, she's funny, she keeps us going, me and my husband, Matt, and we're just thrilled with
her. Are you or Matt particularly dramatic or theatrical?
Yeah, Matt is, not me.
Really?
Matthew was a drama kid.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And he's like the extrovert, and so both he and Aria are extroverts. I'm the lone introvert, just like, leave me alone. There was, I think it was like 2 days ago, I was having like a bad day. And I went to our bedroom, just like, you know, sit for like 4 minutes. And
yeah,
because
that's
in.
What you got, right?
Like, yeah, right? It's like Aria comes in. It's like, Mom! And then Matt comes in. He's like, hey, I tried to keep her out. I'm like, so then you both come in here? And so they just like laid on top of me. I was like, okay, uh-huh.
Yep. How do we end up with these extroverts? I don't get it. Devin is having a big birthday this year. He's turning 50. And I, in my head, had concocted this like big birthday idea for us, which was he and I would travel, just the two of us, and maybe we go to Europe, just the two of us.
Yes.
And I thought he would love this idea. And you know what he wants? A flipping party. He wants a party.
Instead of going to Europe?
Yeah. He wants all the people at this party. All the people.
But is it at your house?
I don't know where it's going to be. I think it maybe, because he wants all the people, maybe it has to be not at our house.
That way you can hide. I do the classic go to the bathroom, you know, every half hour and just kind of.
I live in the bathroom now.
Yeah. It helps.
Yeah.
That's really cool, though, that, I mean, I know that's not the direction you would go if you had a choice, but, you know, like understanding that about him. And
well, I mean, he told me directly. Because I kept being like, we should probably get passports. And he's like, yeah.
That's okay. When it's your birthday, you know what's happening.
Exactly.
Oh, so what about me? Oh,
what about
parenting
you?
Journey, yeah. I would say parenting is definitely a journey. And I'll have to agree with your dad. I do wish something like this podcast was around, well, Penny is 10 now. So 10 years ago and more. Because having a chance to edit and engineer the podcast each month, I get to learn so much about you and Katie specifically. And I have to say, you guys really put yourselves out there for everybody as parents. And I think it's what really makes the show special. And it's better when we go through it with other people.
I think that's true. So even if you're an introvert.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Penny is 10 now, and I love being a dad to a daughter. I never really thought about it. When Penny's mom and I were pregnant with Penny, we wanted to go really old school. You know, we did not want to know boy or girl, which, I don't know, did anybody else do that?
Heck no.
I found out immediately.
It's a lot of work.
Like
no.
The minute I could.
Yeah. It's a lot of work.
To not find out?
You have to remind them every single time.
Like walk in the door, like, don't tell me.
Mm-hmm. Because not as soon as they know, it's in the paperwork.
Oh.
And every a nurse's assistant or
And all the ultrasounds, they are checking for things and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so it was a lot of work, but we succeeded. And I can still remember when Penny came out and, you know, we were both in there and the nurses were taking her out to the back and they say, turn and look at your child for the first time. And I go, what is it? It's a girl. And I was like, a girl. Oh, my God.
Aww.
And I never really thought about it, but was instantly, you know, fell in love.
That's sweet.
A little girl really dad.
Yeah. And it's been a blessing. And also, you know, we all know it has its challenges.
Yeah.
Doing the single dad thing hasn't been that easy.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had some pretty good family support and, you know, support of friends and colleagues. So it's not all bad. In the end of the day, I think it's challenged me to be a better parent, to be a stronger parent, and to think more directly about Penny's needs and how I can, you know, best contribute to her upbringing. So,
yeah.
Well, and you bring a really unique perspective, you know, because you're a dad and you're a single dad. And, like, it's something that I think a lot of people don't get access to, like, hearing someone talk about enough. And, I mean, even for people who have, you know, are partnered or whatever. I mean, I think it's important that we always, like, think about what other people are going through.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just important.
Yeah, we don't always know why either, you know, things. I think, you know, part of my journey as a parent, the beginning of it was very, very difficult. Just for some context, we found out that we were pregnant with Penny at, I think it was the very end of February. Her mother and I. And then, you know, you want to wait a little bit, right? What is it, like 6 weeks or something before you want to start telling people?
12
like
weeks if you're
that was me.
Old school.
Is that right? 12 weeks?
Yep, just to be sure.
Yeah. I think we waited six maybe weeks to tell my parents. But we told my family, I think it was maybe March or April. And then in May, we found out that my dad was sick with pancreatic cancer.
Oh, wow.
And then I was in graduate school at the time, and I was in my last year of graduate school. So it was kind of like all these things going on. And then, you know, 5 months later, he passed away.
Oh,
so just 2 months before Penny was born. And so there was like a lot of, it was a lot of difficult personal stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was overwhelming. And I don't think it helped with my relationship with Penny's mom. And so it wasn't long after that. It was like 2015. I think Penny must have been between two. It was like between two and three. I was unemployed for a lot of that. My job changed up some things internally, like sort of reorged my position, and it wasn't one that I was interested in anymore, so I left. And it took me about a year to really find viable work, you know. And so, but I got to spend that time parenting Penny. So it was like, that was probably one of the best parts of my parenting experience so far. It's also one of the more challenging ones, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We kind of had that, too, because Aria was born January 2020. And so my maternity leave was until.
Oh, my gosh.
We went outside for 1 month and 1 month only. But, yeah, my maternity leave was up until April. So I was like, and, like, Matt works at a school, and his school was, like, one of the first cases of COVID. And so he had 2 weeks off, too. And so we had, like, a full, like, 2 weeks off before the rest of the world also had, you know, lockdown, too. So we just had a lot of infant time.
Yeah.
Which is fun. Like, you know, like, you would never, if we were to have a second child, it would not be the same.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Did you all feel like you were parents right away? Like, as soon as your babies were born, did you feel like, now I am a parent and this is my baby? Or did it take a little bit of time for you to sort of ease into that role?
I thought it was pretty immediate for me. Yeah. I don't know that I was ready, per se. I don't know if you're ever ready. But.
Yeah, I was. I won't say I was ready, but I accepted my new role immediately, right? Like, as soon as she was put in my arms, I was like, okay, And this is next chapter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I was ready. I mean, you know, when I first learned that I was pregnant, it was like,
Yeah, right?
Because it happened really fast, like faster than I thought it would.
Yeah.
And so it was like, oh my gosh, okay.
You and I had a really similar experience with that. It's like, well, this is going to take a while. And then it did not take a while.
It did not.
Same.
Did not.
You have all this time of like, you know what? It'll be fine. In a year, it'll be ready. And it's like, oh no, in 9 months, we're going to be ready.
Yeah, and it's like more than a year. Like I was finishing up grad school when I got pregnant with Desi, and we had, you know, we had decided that we wanted to try to have a kid, but we had watched our friends go through the same thing. Mm-hmm. I was in my 30s. I was like, it's going to take a minute. So, you know, I can finish up grad school and we'll just sort of like, you know, it'll be great. And there was not. It's like, here you go.
Yeah. you said you wanted this.
Enjoy your morning sickness.
Right. Is there ever a perfect time?
Yeah, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I also, it was interesting how much, at least, so I gave birth at the same place, at Evanston Hospital, for both my kids, and the changes that happened between the kids' births, like in terms of like what the expectations were, what the, you know, the wisdom at the time is with like how you care for an infant was really different. Mm-hmm. So like when Desi was born, I had to have a C-section with him, with both kids. And so they took him and I didn't see him, you know, like they showed him to me and then they took him off to do all the tests and whatnot. And I didn't see him for a long time. I mean, what even is time? I don't know how long it was. It felt like a very long time. It was probably like 45 minutes to an hour, but enough time that like I went into a recovery room and then like we went upstairs and then I was like, where's the baby?
Wait, I did just do that,
right? I'm like, I'm pretty sure. But I do remember, you know, feeling sort of like what happened. And then they put him in my arms and I was like, okay, here we go. This feels great. This is right. And when Haven was born, immediately they gave her to me. Immediately. Same deal. Same C-section. They didn't take her off. Like they gave her to me. And then it was all about kangaroo care and skin to skin, which I'm guessing that you guys both had your kids within, you know, approximately a couple years of Haven. Mm-hmm. And so.
Yeah. Aria never left my side.
Yeah. That's, I don't know. Yeah. Also, when Desi was born, and say what you will, this was the best. They were like, do you want us to take him overnight and we'll put him in the nursery? And I was like, what? That's a thing? And they were like, yeah, we'll take him. And then, you know, we'll bring him back when he gets fussy or if he's hungry or whatever. We'll bring him back every couple hours. I was like, is that a good idea? They're like, it's a great idea because you'll get some rest. And it was. It was so great. Like I felt like he was safe and I was safe. And it was like I actually got some sleep. And so when I went in with Haven, I was like, so you going to take this kid or what? And they're like, how? Ma'am. Don't you want your baby?
Same hospital?
Same hospital.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Yeah. It was just like, I mean, it was a 4-year difference. And I think just the.
Different doctor, too.
Yeah. Same.
I think policy must have just changed.
Yeah. Or, you know, like we have different information and we evolve accordingly.
Mm. I had Orson in Indianapolis and we did the overnight thing.
Wasn't it great? Like,
okay. Now give me all the food now.
Yeah.
But I remember, like, when we were there maybe, like, a couple days after he was born, and then we take him home in the car seat, and I remember we walk in the front door and, like, put the car seat on the ground, and then we're like, okay, what do we do now?
Yeah.
You know? It was just, like, I just remember that moment, like, being so real, because it's, like, you're so caught up in, like, the birth and being at the hospital, and there's just, like, all this hubbub and whatever.
Here's this, here's how this works, and here's this, here's how this works, here's how you put on the diaper.
Yeah, and then you put him in the car seat for the first time, and you put him in the car, and then you get home, and it's, like.
That drive home was terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
It was so scary.
There's so little in that car seat, too. Like, and my babies were big. Like, I had big babies, and they still look so tiny in that little car seat. Mm-hmm. That's wild.
I remember having this feeling of like a need to prepare the house for like baby and mom to come home. So I'm like at home, like furiously putting together like art pit projects and things like that. Like, I don't know that I was on the right track for preparation. You know, I should have been thinking about like, I don't know, like getting like the diaper basket ready or like but like possibly food. Cleaning the stove. Yeah, maybe food. Cooking. No, I'm like making like welcome home, you know, art projects and stuff for like the front door. And I think it was a better idea in my mind than in reality.
Yeah.
Because then I'm like, hey, you know, and it's kind of like, where's the food?
Yeah. We were so lucky. My sister Emmy came up and she really like prepped the house for us. So Desi was born 3 weeks early, so it was not expected at all. Like I was still working and I went to work and I was like, man, my back hurts. And I was like, I think maybe I need to go down to part time. That was the last thing I thought of, like on my last day of work before I had Desi. I got home. I had a conversation on the phone with my grandpa. I fell asleep. The next morning, my water broke, and I was like, oh, my God, it's too early. Like, it's way too early. It was fine, y'all. It was totally fine. But our house was wildly unprepared. It was messy. We did not have any kind of hospital bag packed. Like, we were not ready. But my sister came up and, like, took care of business. Like, she made a whole bunch of, like, I mean, she's just like this. This is just like the person that she is. She's very thoughtful and very organized, and she's an excellent cook. So she had prepared all these meals for us. And they stayed for a long time because we were not anticipating having a C-section either, but then we were in the hospital for longer than we thought. So my family was up. My mom came up, and Devin's family came up, and both of my sisters and my brother-in-laws came up, and then they all left. They all left, and it was like that same feeling that you described where it's like, what do we do now? Like, what happens? Uh-huh. And I just remember Desi, like, holding him at home and it feeling so different. Like, that feeling of holding him in our house was so different than holding him in the hospital. Like, it felt more dangerous. Mm-hmm. And then he started crying, and he, like, did not stop crying. And I was like, oh, no. Like, it was very scary.
Yeah, I think it was like 0 minutes of sleep that first night.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Every little crack or sound, like, what's that?
Okay. Yep. And Desi was a bad sleeper. It was not good.
They were like going by the crib and being like, are they breathing?
Right.
Right.
You know, can I see like that? Just or like putting
put your hand there.
Like right under the nose and like, you know, can
did
I
did you get to where it's like, I can't tell if I feel anything or not. I think I would have to wake him up.
I was the fool who woke her up like on clocked, like, oh, it's time to feed. Like per the internet, you have to feed her in 2 hours. So I would wake her up and then feed, and then she'd be cranky and like, did to myself. Yeah. I played myself.
Yeah, those self-inflicted parenting wounds, those can be the worst sometimes.
They said you want to eat now.
Why are you still asleep?
You're not hungry.
Per the internet.
Conventional wisdom says.
Google says.
Yep.
I think everyone knows now how Caitlin and I feel about this podcast, but it would be really cool to hear your perspective being on kind of the other side of it. I knew you guys shared a little bit, but anything more to say about
it? Yeah. It's so much fun. Like, it's so fun to get with you guys and just kind of brainstorm and, like, think about things and just, I don't know, I like to coordinate. That's my thing. So I get really excited putting together the outlines and just, like, scheduling things. Like, it's going to be a great episode. And
I love you for that.
Oh, I love it.
Love you.
I also love, like, when it's warm, right, I have to go, like, walks to listen to the podcast or review, and that's so much fun because, like, time has gone by enough for me that I don't remember everything we talked about, so it feels, mm-hmm. like, new. So I feel like a regular listener, and it reminds me of how much I love this project.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. I enjoy a lot working on the editing, and I really do enjoy the subject matter mm-hmm. that we bring. I think it's important. And I think you guys bring a really positive one, even though parenting is very up and down. And everything isn't sunshiny, but you guys bring a really good perspective. And the resources that you bring, amazing.
You guys sound like friends, like, right? Like, there's a lot of podcasts or like, you should do this. Or like, you know, science says this, which is great. Love science. But like, I also want to hear people who are going through the same things I'm going through.
Oh, yeah.
But like, not talk down to you, you know, like I want to hear people who are sharing experiences and I could be like, oh yeah, without any judgment that maybe I did that wrong or should have behaved
differently. You should wake your baby up every 2 hours. You really should. wake your baby up.
We are the internet. Or the intranet. I don't know.
All the nets. Well, for context, this was a seed that I had come to Amber and Paul to talk about doing some sort of
like a YouTube short, right?
Like a reader's advisory, yeah. Sort of like how can we promote children's books and in a fun way, you know, with video content, you know, like is it a chat? Is it, you know, are they like mini commercials? Like what would be interesting? Because I feel like my brain spins in a lot of different directions. So I just didn't know how to funnel that into something that would make sense. And I knew that you two would know that you would have some really good ideas. And so that sort of became this idea of having a video chat. So I thought Katie would be awesome to work with and that we would talk about some topic, and it would mostly be resources. Like we would mostly just be like hyping what the library had to offer. And our first episode was big topics. Big feelings.
Yeah.
And so we had compiled all of these resources, and the idea was that the video was going to be, was it 10 minutes?
Max.
It had to be a maximum of 10 minutes. Yeah. And we sat down in the chair, and we immediately just started talking, and it was so natural, and it was so easy. And how long was it?
50 minutes.
It was a long time. Yeah.
And we wrapped it up, and it was funny because we were shooting in the teen room, and Paul, you had done some real masterful set design to sort of make it look like it wasn't, you know, in the teen area of the library, and that we were, it was like, let's bring in some plants and some nice pillows. Like we're trying to make it seem, you know, homey, and like we're just having a conversation. But I remember you coming to me and being like, I don't know how I'm going to edit this down to 10 minutes. And then what I thought was really sweet was after, I feel like you both sat, I think it was, this is in my memory, so you'll have to tell me if I'm wrong, but I feel like both of you contacted me and you kind of sat me down and it felt like I was having a conversation with mom and dad. And I felt like you were being so careful. Like, we just think that this might be podcast.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah!
I think we were scared to like put more work, you know, out there, because a podcast seems bigger, right, than like a quick snappy video that Paul would just edit and slap on YouTube. But like a podcast felt so much bigger. And so for me personally, I was like, oh no, this is gonna be like a bigger ask for these two ladies.
I felt relieved.
Yeah, me too, because I think cutting out that video component, it makes me feel safer.
Yeah.
So even though it still felt kind of scary, like just in terms of getting in our groove with it, it felt more comfortable for me. And I think for a lot of people that like the light on you in terms of like physically is always kind of hard.
I just felt bad for Paul because I felt like in terms of content, I know I can go on. I get really excited about resources and I get really excited about, you know, compiling lists and getting all the information out there so that everybody can have it. And then, you know, our conversation was flowing so naturally and I really was like, oh my God, are we going to do this to you every month? Like, are you going to have to? And this feels better because we can kind of go on and we can put it all out there. And then what you are cutting isn't, you know, like you're really separating like the wheat from the chaff instead of like, how do I really pare this thing down to like absolutely nothing,
right.
You know?
Yeah. And the adding the video elements in there obviously is a whole nother level of things. Mm-hmm. And I think to your point, Katie, it does sort of add a you know, like the watching eye, and there's other things to consider, you know, with video that it makes it a little bit more complicated in that way. Everything's about getting into a groove. And the same thing with the podcast. I think, you know, we had to get into a groove, and we have, and it's, like, much smoother now. But, yeah, and to your story, Amber and I were, you know, feeling like we wanted to be careful. And because also this was your idea, and we know from our position, you know, we're a sort of a support team for the rest of the library services. In all of the communications that we do or things that we do are to support the other departments.
I would say elevate.
Elevated.
I like that better.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
I'll take
We're going to use that one.
There you go.
We're going to use that one. We're here to elevate the rest of the departments.
I like that because that's very true.
Elevate and celebrate.
Ooh. And so we don't want to, the ideas aren't always ours. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to be careful with how we approached this idea because I think we knew from the beginning it could be a really good one.
Yeah.
And it has been. So I'm really glad we made that step.
Me too. I'm really glad it happened this way.
Me too.
Was there an episode, kind of like the conversation that we just had about, was there a moment that you knew that you were parents? Was there an episode or a moment in making this podcast that you knew that it was going to work? Or do you feel like you knew from the jump that it was going to be a go?
I think the first episode, like just hearing your banter, your engagement, like both of you meshed so well that I thought it was a good like match. And so I was confident from the start that this was going to be great.
Thanks.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was a few episodes in when I really realized that we were sort of onto something really good.
I'll tell you, for me, Amber, I don't know if you know that you do this, but I think it was in the first, I mean, you do it every episode, and I love it. I wait for the Amber Hayes head nod. And sometimes you laugh quietly. And anytime that I see you, so like I think it was in our first episode, and I can't even remember what it was that we said, but I saw you. You were kind of sitting in your corner, and you did this like this big head nod, and you had this smile on your face, and then you did a real quiet laugh, and I was like, yes.
I know. I love these episodes. I feel like you guys are so witty and like have so much good observations that I'm often making sure I don't appear on the soundtrack with my laughter.
It's better than my throat gurgle.
Along those lines, do you guys have any favorite episodes from our 1 year?
I personally really liked the Creating Boundaries episode. I know that was one of our more recent ones.
That one was, I think, the most outside of my like emotional comfort zone. And I was really nervous about it coming out, but maybe that's one of the ones that I think when I listened to it, I was like, oh, no, this is actually like a really, really good episode, even if it is like pushing my own personal comfort a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm really proud of our climate change episode.
Yeah.
Yes.
I felt like and that one is one that has fewer listens, I feel like, than some of the other ones. But I felt like that was a really important one, and I'm really glad that we did it. I'm really proud of it.
Yeah. You guys did a great job with that one. I think climate change is big and scary, and people like to avoid big and scary things, right?
I agree.
And like, I think that episode we're all like, man, this is like, this is a lot. Yep. But I do remember that second half, the second segment, like it was a lot of uplifting conversation, you know, like which I felt really good about, like how can the everyday Joe solve climate change?
Yep.
And that I thought was really helpful. I think my favorite episode is also Creating Boundaries, which is interesting since that was the hardest one to film for you guys. But I agree that you're super vulnerable. Like, I appreciate how you bring your full selves to this. But I also loved How to Be a Friend.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
For both kids and adults. Because, like, as adults, right, we all know it's hard. But it's also fun to put yourself in, like, a kid's shoe of, like, how do you go about and make friends? Because Aria, she's an extrovert, but she gets nervous about rejection now at her big age of 4.
And she's so almost like, 5, though.
Almost 5 in her head.
Counting the days.
January 2024 was her birthday. but she like had her dad go with her to go ask these kids, can they play? Because she didn't want them to say no. And I was like, girlfriend, you just got to do it. You know, like I can't be with you all the time. So I find myself thinking about how you talk about, like, you know, Desi's, like, friendship bench or whatever it was called.
Mm-hmm.
And how buddy bench. Yeah. That's and, true. Like, I think of these things, and it's been helpful for me.
Absolutely.
I think the part that sticks out the most for me that I think about all the time is that crawdad story in your wedding. I think about it all
nightmares.
The time.
Indiana nightmares.
Crawdad wedding.
That's one of many in the Indiana nightmares.
That's right. There's a lot.
All year, we read tons of the latest books for kids to find the best books to read during the summer. You'll find great books for students in kindergarten to high school. Find the recommended titles in the show notes.
All right, so to get to know everyone just a bit better, maybe we will learn something about ourselves as well. We're going to do some quick lightning round questions. All Caitlin, right. Can you start us off?
I would love to. Katie, how do you prepare for an episode?
When I prepare for an episode, I kind of go to resources first. I think about experiences that I've had to possibly share to go with that. I don't know. It's like anymore. I think at the beginning I was preparing a lot, mm-hmm. but now I tend to prepare less to just kind of let it flow. Mm-hmm. So how about you?
Kind of the same. I think in the beginning it was mostly me and you doing the prep on our own, where we would come up with a topic and then we would sort of make our own outline and fill in resources as we went. And I felt like we would meet, for at least an hour mm-hmm. the week before and sort of go through, like we would have like a pre-conversation. And as we were talking, those usually inspired me to find resources. And now we don't really do that. I think now we meet more as a team. Mm-hmm. And I like the way that that flows mm-hmm. better. And I think Amber puts together a really nice outline. And so it takes a lot of pressure off of us and a lot of pressure off of how is this going to yeah. I have a tendency to want to control the flow.
Yeah.
And that's a nice way to break it up for me, I think. So now I rely more on what we determine as a team and then just sort of let it ride. There are definitely episodes that I spend time, like if I'm less comfortable with, I will do some pre-homework, mm-hmm. like climate change. I did a lot of pre-work at the beginning. Like, how am I even going to because it is all just clumped up in my head. So how do I unravel this? And then there were some other ones. I think the friendship one, I did a little bit more research on how, what child development practices are and how grown-ups can, make friends outside of work and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. I think it kind of depends on the topic.
Yeah.
Amber, how about you?
I really rely on those monthly or quarterly meetings, however often we meet, to get most of my work done, because I like to put those outlines together. Whatever makes your jobs easier, I will happily do. So
love it.
How about you, Paul?
I think, most of my preparation comes in the back end of everything. I do really value our meetings together. I think that's a great time for us to catch up on where we are and also talk about upcoming topics. But really, I think, my preparation starts where you guys finish off, mm-hmm. With getting all the files organized and working to bring the best out of the files and then, of course, editing. So I sort of wait until this day when we record and then launch into preparation from there. So,
Do you find yourself when we're talking, now that we've been together for a year, and Paul and I have worked a lot together. I think you and I started almost at the same time here at the library. I started a little bit after you, but I feel like almost one of the first things I did here at the library was get assigned that early readers project. And I did not know what I was doing. And I just remember being in a big room with you, and you were so relaxed and I was so not relaxed. But I feel like once we did that project together, we were you're my person.
Yeah,
it's
for sure.
We did so many projects together that I feel super comfortable working with you.
Absolutely.
But my question is, do you, now that the four of us are together, every month and it's been a full year now, do you find yourself, as we're talking, making mental markers during the conversation? I'm going to cut that, or I'm going to highlight that in some way, or this is where this is going to shift.
Definitely. Yeah. And I know Amber is also taking notes over there. And so we often collaborate
on
her. Because I think the most challenging, and I might have said this before, but the most challenging part for me is determining what to cut, because all of the things that you guys talk about are good. And if we're trying to keep for time, which is one of our objectives, some things have to be cut. So I do take notes in my mind, but listening to you guys tell your stories about your families is really uplifting to me, because you guys really don't really hold back. I mean, you're honest and truthful, and you have a way of delivering your perspective that I get a lot from every time I sit here with you guys and we record these.
One of the things that I really appreciate about you, Paul, is that I trust you in a way that I don't always trust myself to make us sound good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I know that, like, I used to always say that to you, like, thanks for making us sound good or thanks for making us look good, depending on what kind of project you and I were working on. And I mean it. Like, mm-hmm. I really mean that. I feel like you get us and you make us sound perfect.
Yeah. Oh,
thank you.
I agree.
Yeah.
Caitlin, what is your drink of choice?
You know what, I've thought about this since Wednesday, and what I came down on is hot tea with oat milk. I drink so much tea. I drink roughly 75.
I would have said that about you.
Yeah, like a million and thousand, million, thousand, billion cups of tea a day.
Yeah, you probably know mine.
All the beverages.
Well, yeah, that is true. That
coffee,
is true.
Water.
Yeah.
I'm constantly double fisting.
Sometimes I'm balancing a third one on top of one of them.
Yes. I saw a little beverage tray at the thrift store, and I kind of wanted to get it for you, yeah. But I didn't do it.
Yeah. So mine's coffee.
How do you take your coffee?
Just with like a little oat milk or a little half and half, or yeah. I don't do a whole shebang with it.
I think I would go for a chai latte.
Mm-hmm. I love chai latte.
I also don't like coffee.
I think I drink too much coffee.
Mm, no such thing.
Yeah. My new drink of choice has been this mushroom coffee. You guys heard of this?
I have heard of this.
I have, but I do not like mushrooms.
Yeah.
Does it taste like mushrooms?
It does.
Ooh. Yeah.
And a little bit like dirt, but...
You're not selling it.
No.
Is this mud water?
Good thing I'm not selling. No, it's. Or I don't want to bust anybody out, but I will say, the first couple, I'm like, I might have wasted my money here, but then it started to grow on me, and I actually kind of like it. Yeah, it does still taste like mushrooms, though. You know what? I'll bring some in for the group. How about that? Our next meeting.
It feels better to me than that coffee that's made from like the big cat poop. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
No.
You know what I'm talking
I've heard
about.
Of this,
yeah, it's like top of the line. Like, so it's like, is it Civet Cats?
This is when I drink coffee.
I think so.
Wait, top of the line for what?
Like the creme de la creme of like coffee. What's... Like a fanciness. Yeah. Obviously fanciness. So no, like it's like the big cats eat the coffee beans and then they poop them out.
No.
And then you make the coffee from it. Yeah. It's real.
Yeah. No.
It's real.
I think it like naturally strips the coating off of the to reveal the bean. Because you know that it's like a big fruit.
Katie will never have coffee again. Thinking,
I'm telling you, Google it. It's real. It's not just me Google making up poop coffee because I don't like coffee.
It's actually really funny to me because I was putting my coffee beans into my grinder yesterday. A few of them fell out into my cat food dish. And
so
you can break your own
later.
At home.
You're on to something.
And I'm like, I think I got them all. And I died. Like, just like started an experiment. I didn't even know it existed.
You could sell it. Small cat coffee.
Hank and Diana.
It's a deep roast, domestic, short hair. Celebrate DIA, Children's Day, Book Day with us in the kids' room. Come dressed as your favorite book character and try out fun games and activities. Learn more in the show notes.
Going this month. Katie?
My cat Diana loves snuggling with me, and it's like on her terms, of course, like all cats. Right. She's such a diva, but I love her.
Aww.
And yeah, it's like there's just nothing like it.
Kitty snuggles.
When like an animal that loves you and like loves you the most.
You should do a series called Kitty and Katie. And you should just do pictures of you and Diana together. And I want to see them all.
Yeah. I've sent you a few.
I would like more. You could send me five a day.
And she's like this like fluffy ball of gray fur, these like crazy green eyes. I mean, she's so soft. It's just like.
Send me photos now too.
10 out of 10.
Right?
Perfection.
And you need a theme song. Kitty and Katie, best friends forever.
Like, she'll trap me in the morning where I can't get out of bed. Aww. You know, she like does her like cat voodoo on me. Yeah. And then it's like lulls me back to sleep. It's like the siren call, you know?
Yep.
So.
I guess for me, it has been my kids. They have been really funny this month. Desi in particular, I think he's working on his sense of humor, and it is evolving, and it's a little prurient right now, but I appreciate it. And I don't know, it's I like the laughs that he and I have been sharing.
That's cute.
That's cute. As folks here know, I've been delving into knitting this year. And so I started my first sweater back in February, and I have ripped it apart probably at least 6 times. Mm-hmm. And yesterday, I finally made it to a point where I'm like, this feels good.
What was that thing you were wearing?
Oh, my little...
What do you call that? Like a shawl?
Poncho.
I would call it a poncho.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. It's like different than a poncho, though.
The fact that you made that is just, it's so cool.
It really is.
You guys are the best.
But so yeah, I'm sure your sweater is like...
I would like pictures of that sweater too, please.
I will show you. Every stage has been ripped. My husband's like, you have to stop. Like, it's not perfect.
Do you call it frogging when you do it in... So I know you do it for crochet, but...
Mm-hmm. I didn't want to use the...
Is it like a solid color or design?
It's like a variant. It's like a hand-dyed situation. So it's got like some... Oh. It's like a kind of like... I don't know. There's like a kind of a rosy color with some blues and some purples.
Is it going to be for you?
For me, yes.
I can't wait to see it.
Aria helped me pick out the colors.
Awesome.
And she got to make it into a little ball at the yarn store. So I'm trying to get her into it. She's like, no.
I would be impressed if you could get a four-year-old knitting.
I hear some like kids crochet and stuff.
They do. There's some kid on the internet that was like, he's like 9 and he's making these like... beautiful thing. You know,
Jonah Hands,
I think it is.
That's inspired me to crochet. I'm like, if a 9-year-old boy can do it, surely I can.
Me?
Yeah.
And then it turns out there's something about those little 9-year-old hands that I don't know.
It's different.
Wow.
He is amazing.
That's really cool.
How about you, sir?
I would say it's been spending time with Penny. It's been really good for me. You know, she's a character. And she's working on her skateboarding, so that's been fun. Yeah, just really enjoy my time with her, so it keeps me going.
That's cool.
That's great.
Yeah, this has been really special to have both of you here with us today. I really hope everyone, and I'm sure they can, get a sense of like why we love working together so much. And, you know, the rapport that Caitlin and I have is special, but the rapport that all 4 of us have, you know, obviously brings that out each episode, and couldn't do it without you. Literally.
Can't believe it's been a year.
We've been really looking forward to this episode.
Yeah.
Friends.
Good team.
Yep.
Yeah. Thanks for having us on.
On to the next.
On to the next.
That's it for us this month. Remember to keep in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you. Email us at podcast@skokielibrary.info.
And don't forget, if you've enjoyed this episode or previous episodes, rate and review us on your favorite podcatcher.
This has been Katie and Caitlin with Your Family, Your Library. Produced by Amber Hayes.
Hey.
Sound engineered by Paul Knutson. Bye, friends.
Goodbye.
Bye.